I just want to take a few minutes before we go this morning and invite you to think about where God might be at work, where God might be moving. I sat down last night to work on to run through my PowerPoint presentation one last time, and as I was in the middle of it making some tweaks, the power went out. We're just kicking it old school this morning. It's all right. I mean, you have to look at me instead of some nice pictures up front. But hopefully that's not that bad. But hopefully the same truth will come through and maybe even something better. I want to read from Isaiah 7. It's a well-known Christmas passage. As soon as I start reading it, Isaiah 9. As soon as I start reading it, some of you be like, oh yeah, I know this. But I want you to just listen to what is promised here. And I especially want you to notice how it's going to come about. All right? So what is promised and how is it going to happen? So before I read, I'm going to pray. And then we'll take a look at that. Father, we thank you that even when we are running around like chickens with our head cut off, you are still at work loving, showing grace, strengthening us, giving us peace and joy sometimes in spite of ourselves. And we just pray for a moment, a sense of being in step with you. And those bigger things that you're doing this Christmas, some of us, Lord, come here this morning very keenly aware of our need. And I pray a special sense of your grace and peace for them this morning. But for the rest of us, Lord, who've just been busy, would you help us to slow down? I just think of the psalmist exclaiming, oh, awake my soul, wake up that innermost part of me. And I pray that you would do that, that you'd do that and you'd make us attentive to you. We just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And he goes on to describe what that looks like and the joy that people are experiencing and the new reality that's brought into existence. And when you go on down to verse 6, it says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I don't know what your felt need is this morning. I don't know what your longing is. But in Isaiah, God looked at the world and he promised that those living in darkness would see a light. And yet it comes in the form of this child. And we're told this child will be called the Wonderful Counselor. That's reassurance for those of us looking for guidance and leading right now. Mighty God, for those of us who are weak, feeling insufficient, it's not a adequate God. It's a mighty God that he will be called. Everlasting Father, for those of us who just need the love of a father right now, that embrace, that reassurance that I am here, I am with you, I am for you. the Prince of Peace. I would take all of that right now. But do you notice how it comes? It comes in the form of this kingdom. A kingdom that's characterized by justice and peace and that won't have any end. I don't know if you're following the news right now or if you're one of the many people I know who have just had enough. No more Brexit. No more impeachment. No more foolishness. A kingdom that is characterized by justice and peace seems to exactly fit the longing of much of the world right now. And when you read it, it says that it's going to come about as a result of the zeal, the passion of the Lord Almighty. And when you zoom out and you look at it from that perspective, it just sounds like God is going to do something. That God is going to, in his passion for justice and peace, in his hatred of all that is broken and robbing us of life and goodness and joy, all that has taken the world and steered it in all the wrong directions, he's just going to come and he's going to set the world right in his sovereignty and power. And there are theological arguments for that. And yet what I've been struck by this Christmas is that as much as I hear people longing for God just to intercede, for God just to come and impose his will on a world and to move all the pieces around and set it all right, as much as I see people asking, okay, if God is good, if God is love, how can he let this all go on and go this way? I'm struck by how when we go from that big, zoomed out, large, wide perspective of things that we have here in Isaiah 9, and we zoom in to what it actually looked like when that started to play out, how the perspective changes, how it forces us out of this false binary that we kind of live in most of the time, and it invites us to embrace mystery. Because when the zeal of the Lord starts to move and starts to accomplish what is promised, this is what it looks and sounds like. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin, to a young woman pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And even Mary, in this moment, it didn't fit. It didn't seem right. It wasn't what she was expecting. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will perceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be called the Great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, the kingdom coming characterized by justice and peace that will last forever, the thing that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish, looks like a young girl in a backwater part of an insignificant bit of geography saying yes to God. It looks ridiculously ordinary. It looks so amazingly plain and commonplace. It's not God coming with trumpets and armies and setting everything right. It is God coming into the life of one young woman and saying, "Hey, I've got a plan. Are you in?" It's God coming to his fiance in a dream and saying, "Hey, I know that it looks like things are really off course right now, but I need you to stick with me on this one." It takes a young couple, not even yet married, embracing the fact that the beginning of their life together is not going to go the way they wanted, that their place in the community they hoped they'd have isn't probably going to be there, and saying, "Yes, okay, there's something bigger happening here that the world needs." It's God coming to this young couple and saying, not asking them to do things that are impossible, not asking them to do things that are out of their reach. It's just saying, hey, you've got the capacity for this. Can I use it? And I think as you read scripture, that's the way it plays out. When we read these great prophetic passages about God's intention in the world and setting things right, it feels like this big, huge, kingdom-level thing that requires God to move and to release power into the world that isn't already there and to do something just absolutely absurd and miraculous. And yet when you zoom in individual moments, it is just ordinary, normal people saying yes to the purposes of God in a moment. It's a young boy giving his lunch to Jesus and the disciples to feed a multitude. It's a not yet disciple leaving his fishing business to go and be a rabbi, or to go and learn under a rabbi who half the world thinks is a little bit crazy. Sometimes we want to live in a place where we want to make draw lines between God's sovereignty versus the will of people. And I think the mystery of it all is that you can't let go of either. God's kingdom coming and God's will being done here on earth as it is in heaven requires people to recognize it and to embrace it and to live as though it's true. And not just one or two, but a community. So the great challenge for me this Christmas is, as I look at a world that needs love, that needs God to move, if I'm going to be faithful to what I see in the story of Scripture over and over and over again, God's great grand movements, those things that he does that radically changes everything, begins with one or two people who just say yes. I'm in. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And I don't know where you feel that prompting. And I don't know where you feel drawn to meet a need or to show grace or to extend forgiveness or to be present. But I want to encourage you not to view it as something small. It may be the coming of that kingdom that's characterized by justice and peace for one individual. And it may grow into more. It may be actually the Prince of Peace arriving on the scene for somebody. It may be for somebody the Wonderful Counselor showing up and the domain and rule of Jesus being expressed in a context in a way that might change everything. It's not the end. It's not the full thing that we long for, but it's something. It says in the end that when the enemy of our souls is defeated, it is defeated by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And he's defeated by the testimony of the saints, by people just saying yes and sharing the story. And so as people in relationship with a God like this, the potential for change in this room is exciting. He won't ask you to do anything that's beyond what you can do. It may be uncomfortable. It may cost you something. What is it to gain the whole world and to lose our souls? But if we die to ourselves and give ourselves to him, then he will give more than that back, is the promise. And so I invite you to live in the mystery of Christmas, which is this one of a God who's incredibly passionate about the world being set right, with infinite power and capacity to make it so. And yet for some strange reason, he decides to use flesh and blood, ordinary people, to make himself present in the world. It doesn't have to be all God, and it doesn't have to be all us. It can be this weird, mysterious marriage of both. We don't even need to fully understand how it works. Our role is just to say yes. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And so my prayer for you is that you find yourselves all caught up in all of these divine little capers. All these little invitations that God has for you to be a part of his kingdom coming and his will being done this Christmas. And that you won't say no because it doesn't feel significant enough or it feels too small, but that by faith you'll trust on the flip side of what you can't see, that the zeal of the Lord Almighty will be accomplishing something. It's the only thing that gets me out of bed in the morning. Is the hope that by standing up and saying something or spending time with somebody that somehow the kingdom of God shows up in somebody's life in a way that I can't bring about in my own strength. And I always get to be pleasantly surprised when it happens. Walk away and say, thank you, Lord. I know that wasn't me. I know where I began and end, and that was not on me. And may you find the same. May you find joy this Christmas and saying yes to whatever comes across your path. And if you don't know what it is, may you have eyes to see it when it comes, and courage to take it up and to walk it out. Let me pray.